to John chapter 15. We're going to finish up this series that we started back on the first week of school called Meet the Teacher. And what we've been doing is we've been looking at the book of John, because the book of John gives us some information about Jesus that the other Gospels don't always give us. As a matter of fact, it's kind of interesting, in the book of John, the Lord's Supper is not really talked about. In all the other Gospels, they talk about the Lord's Supper, but not so much in the book of John. However, in the book of John, what is talked about was what was taught to the disciples at the Lord's Supper. And so what we see here this morning is we're looking at John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. And what we're seeing here is what Jesus was sharing with the disciples before he was going to be betrayed the next day. As a matter of fact, after this, they would go to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he would be betrayed and arrested, and then his crucifixion. So in John chapter 15, this is kind of like the last thing that he wants to tell his disciples about how to live the Christian life. And through the book of John, we have looked at these I am statements to give us a picture, metaphors, of what Jesus is like. The first one we saw is it said, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. And we talked about how within every person there is a spiritual hunger. And the way a man feels that spiritual hunger is through Jesus Christ. And we talked about the next week that he is the light of the world. And we talked about how the world is a dark place without Jesus. And Jesus came into the world to light it up. And that light is in our life. And we have light in a dark world because of Jesus. And then he talked about that Jesus is the door. The only way to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, the only way to have a saving relationship is through Jesus. It doesn't come through church. It comes through a personal relationship with Jesus. And Jesus said, I am the door of life. And then the next week he said, I am the good shepherd. And one of the beautiful things is that Jesus has this desire to guide you and me, to take care of you and me, to protect you and me from harm. And he said, I am the good shepherd. And then the thing he also said was at a funeral, he walks up to the death of his good friend Lazarus, and he comes up where he has been dead for 4 days. And he says to Mary and Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. And you need to hear that when you're at a funeral, that through Jesus there is life, there is resurrection. And then last week we talked about how Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And we talked about only through Jesus Christ can you have a relationship with God. He is a very inclusive. Anybody can have a relationship with God through Jesus. But it's very exclusive because it's only through Jesus that you can know God personally. And then we get to this very last one where he says, I am the vine. I am convinced personally that this is one of the most important teachings that you can know as a Christian about how to live the Christian life. There is a lot of confusion about what it means to be a Christian in our culture. And in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, he kind of clears it up. The question is not whether we understand it necessarily, it's whether we're willing to let it be a reality in our life. I am convinced that the hope of First Baptist Mount Ida, the hope of Montgomery County, the hope of Arkansas, the hope of the United States is not in religion. It's not in a church. It is in people who have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that is living and active on a daily basis. You may be here this morning thinking, this Christian life isn't very good. I don't have any joy. I don't have any fruit. And it's just not, it's not working for me. Well, the question I have is why not? Because in John chapter 15, he's pretty specific about how to live this life. It's not through just legalism. It's through a relationship with Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, in your translation, in John 15, you're going to see a word over and over again. Many of your translations use the word abide. It says abide in Christ. My translation says remain. And it literally means this. It describes to meno, which is the Greek word. It means to abide, but it means to remain in. It means to continue. It means to be fixed in. So if you're going to be a Christian who is experiencing what God wants you to experience, you're going to have to abide, remain, stay fixed in Jesus. It begins with Jesus and it ends with Jesus. And we're missing somehow, I think, the power of what it means to know Christ because we don't understand this concept. I want us to look at John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11, and picture it in your mind as I read it, because this is how to make a difference. It says in verse 1, Jesus said, I am. Remember, that comes from the Old Testament reference to God where He says, I am who I am. Jesus says, I am basically God when He says, I am. And He says, I am the true grapevine. And my Father is the gardener, the vine dresser. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and He prunes the branches that do bear fruit. Why does He do that? So they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. And then here's that word, meno. Remain in me, abide in me, dwell in me, is what it literally means. And I will, what? Dwell in you, remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you, what? Remain in me. There's that word again, abide. Anytime you're reading a scripture and a word appears over and over again, you ought to circle it. That word abide, remain, dwell is important. Then verse 5, He says, yes, I am the vine. And kids, what did He say? You are the branches. For you adults, you don't get this, but at camp, they learned this to a rap song. And I mean, the whole time I studied this passage, I kept thinking of camp and how these kids still know the verse. I am the vine, you are the... Yeah, it's beautiful. And then it says, those who remain in me and I in them will do what? They will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain, there's that word again, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted to you. When you produce much fruit, I love this verse 8, when you produce much fruit, there is never described in the scripture a fruitless Christian. But when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. Not when you go to church, not when you obey the Ten Commandments, but when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. And then He says, this brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain, there it is again, remain, abide, dwell in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obeyed my Father's commandments and remain in His love. And then look at verse 11. I have told you these things. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. If you're a joyless Christian this morning, it probably has to do with whether you're connected or not. It has to do whether you're remaining or not, because He says, you will be filled with joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is an incredible passage, in my opinion, about how to enjoy the abundant life. This passage is how to have joy. This passage is how to enjoy being a Christian and make a difference. You see, our goal is not just to show up and be here and have fun while we're here. Our goal is to impact everybody we come into contact with. It is to be different. And it only will happen when individual Christians like you and me decide that we're going to allow Jesus to dwell with us, abide in us, remain in us. All this good stuff that the Scripture talks about is for those of us who remain in Him. And this passage will change your life and put a smile on your face. So let's begin with the key figures in this story. The first, he talks about the vine. The vine is Jesus. Jesus said, "I am the true grapevine." And then he says in verse 5, "Yes, I am the vine." In this story, the vine represents Jesus. And the vine is where all life comes from. The vine is from where all nourishment comes from. And as a Christian, the only place that you're going to find nourishment as a believer is in Jesus Christ. And so Jesus says, "I am the true vine. I'm not the fake vine." There are a lot of fake vines out there called religion. Jesus said, "I am the true vine." Whether you're a teenager or a senior adult, whatever age you are, Jesus is the only way to be fruitful, to make a difference. He says, "I am the real deal." Jesus Christ is the only vine we need. Now, the second thing, he talks about the gardener, the vine dresser. That is God. You know, I am not God, obviously, but one of my responsibility is to take care of this vine here, this basil that I keep smelling. It's not the best smelling stuff. I don't know what we do with it, but I can smell it right now. And one of my responsibilities every single day is when I walk out the back door, I'm to check the vine and make sure it has enough water. Because here's the amazing thing about this. When you don't water it, it starts shriveling up. And I'm also responsible to tear off the leaves, which I haven't been doing a very good job on. I'm not a good gardener. But the one that is described as the gardener, the vine dresser, is God the Father. Jesus says, "My Father is the vine dresser. My Father is the gardener." And in this story, he's telling this to try to teach you and me what the Christian life is all about. So, we have Jesus as the vine, God is the gardener, and then he gets to the next thing, and this is real important to catch. He talks about the branches. And the branches are described in verses 2 through 4, but there's two kinds of branches that he talks about. Okay? The first one is the abiding branches. And what are the abiding branches in this story? The abiding branches refers to the 11 disciples and all other true disciples that come from Jesus Christ. So when you hear Jesus talk about the branches, the abiding branches, he is talking about all Christians, you and me today, as well as the 11 disciples that he's talking to at that time. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." The abiding branches are those branches that are true Christians. He's painting a picture. And in this story, he talks about how God, the gardener, will often prune us. If you're a Christian, God is going to often prune you in many different ways. It may be problems, it may be difficult. He's going to allow them to happen into your life in order to make you better. It talks about this in Hebrews 12, verses 7 through 11, where it talks about the discipline of God. There are many times God disciplines us to make us better. My parents disciplined me as a kid to keep me from getting run over. They would spank me when I got in the street. That's discipline. That is training. God does that for you if you're a believer. So if you're a branch and you're abiding in Jesus, don't think that doesn't mean you're going to have setbacks. It means you will. The question is, will you let God bring good out of it? Will you let Him grow you up? So the first one is abiding branches. Now there's another branch which is called non-abiding branches. Who? What is he talking about? He's talking about Judas and all other false disciples like him. You see, this is a story where Jesus is trying to paint for us a picture through a story that there is this plant. And here's the thing. Did not Judas look like one of the other 12 until he betrayed the Lord in the garden? Yeah, he just looked like one of the 12. He was called a disciple. And just because someone is a disciple does not mean they're a true disciple. There are many people who start following Jesus but never commit their lives to Jesus. So Jesus is saying there are these other branches that look like Christians, but they have no life. As a matter of fact, he talks about how they're gathered up and they're put in the fire and they're burned up. They're not the true branches. So what he's trying to point out to you and me, there's two branches. There are those who have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And there are those like Judas who look sometimes like Christians but aren't truly believers. Do you get the picture? It's a story. It's to help us understand what it's all about. And so what Jesus is telling them, he's telling them this at the Last Supper, whereas he's teaching his 11 disciples who are the true branches, that one branch called Judas is betraying him at that very moment. And Judas, you know the story. He eventually committed suicide. He was not a true branch, but he looked like one. The scripture gives other illustrations how it's very hard to tell sometimes Christians from non-Christians. He talks about the weeds and the plants and how they're together and they look alike. And that is so true. You can have religion on the outside. You can be dunked in the baptistry. You can say the little prayer. But if you don't give Him your life and your heart, you're not connected to it. It maybe is something you're interested in. And so Jesus is trying to say there are abiding branches and their non-abiding branches. And the key is Jesus. That's what I love about these I am statements in John. It's all about Jesus. It's not a Baptist Jesus. It's not a Catholic Jesus. It's Jesus. It is the only thing that can save you. It's the only thing that gives you life. I remember back when I was talking about and thinking about the branches. I went back to Vacation Bible School when I was in the fourth grade, and there was a whole family of kids who raised their hand that they wanted to be a Christian, and they were baptized as a family. And I can remember I wanted to follow their example, and my mom said, uh-uh. And I said, what do you mean? I want to get baptized. She said, no, you just don't get baptized. To be baptized, it's about a relationship. And she wouldn't let me get baptized. Well, those four brothers, everybody in the church was cheering and excited, and they got baptized. To this day, those guys have never been one bit different in the way they live their life. They're just as sorry now as they were in the fourth grade. And I'm not judging. They may be saved. They may be saved. Because it only takes a little... But here's what I'm telling you. I never saw a change in their life. I mean, it's one thing to get off track But if you know him, you usually get on track. Those kids were sorry from the fourth grade to this very day. Were they baptized? Yes. Are they on a church row? Yes. Are they saved? Only God knows. But there sure has not been fruit that I know of. And let me tell you, there is no such thing as a fruitless Christian. There just isn't. So that's kind of the picture. That's the story. But what is the practical part that he wants to teach us in this story? What is abiding in Jesus? What is remaining in Jesus? How does that look? How does that work? How does that make a difference? Well, let's look at that. First of all, abiding in Jesus produces spiritual fruit. If you are connected, not if you've said the prayer, not if you've been baptized, because you can do that and not be connected. But if you have given your life to Jesus Christ, if you are connected, if you are abiding in Him, remaining in Him, here's what's going to happen. You're going to produce what? Much fruit. There is no such thing as a fruitless Christian. Matter of fact, we like to call it backsliding. You don't find backsliding in the Scripture. That doesn't mean we don't go backwards at times, but it's not a biblical term. But look at verse 5. This is Jesus speaking, not me. He says, "Yes, I am the vine." This is Jesus. "Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches." But look what he says. "Those who remain in me and I in them, what will they do?" They'll produce much fruit. We're not talking about just good works. We're talking about spiritual fruit, spiritual works that give glory to God, not glory to man. There is a difference. I know many lost people who do good things. It's somewhat called humanism. But what we're talking about here is spiritual fruit, and spiritual fruit points people towards who? God. He says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit." And the question I have for you, it's the same question I ask myself. So don't think I'm on my high horse, because I have to ask myself the question, what spiritual fruit is in my life? See, if I'm a believer, even if I'm a preacher, and I'm connected to Jesus, there will be spiritual fruit. What does it mean to remain in Him? What does it mean? It literally means this, to remain in Him, to be connected to Him, to abide in Him. It means that you have an unbroken relationship with Him. These are commands. Verse 5, he says, we are commanded to remain in Him. If you're a believer, you're not given the option to be Jesus plus a couple other things. No, it's Jesus or nothing. And if you're connected into Him, if you have an active relationship with Him, guess what? You will produce spiritual fruit. You say, well, what's a relationship? Well, it's a relationship. It's like my relationship to my wife. We talk. Would we have a marriage if we never talked? No, we'd just be together. We talk. We do things together. We listen. It's a relationship. Is it perfect? No. She doesn't listen to me sometimes. I listened to her, no joke, this morning, got ready to come to church, had my khakis on. I was real proud of them. They were this fishing brand or this hunting brand, starts with a W. Somebody had given them to me, brand new, never been worn, put them on, feeling pretty good. I thought, well, I'm going to put on a long sleeve fishing shirt, the white shirt. The one that's got the little vent in the back, cool, white, long sleeve. Come into the bathroom, her bathroom, to get inspected, only to hear the words, "I've told you, it's October, no white." And besides, those pants on you look silly. Now, she can say that to me because we have a what? And what did I go do? put the silly pants up. I said, I can't believe you called them silly. You know? But I don't have a white shirt on because it's after that holiday, Labor Day or whatever, and we have a relationship, and I want to continue to have a relationship with my wife, so I mind her. It's the same thing about your walk with Jesus Christ. If you have a relationship with Him, you will produce spiritual fruit. What is spiritual fruit? Well, let me give you about five things spiritual fruit is so you can see if you're producing it. First of all, fruit of the Spirit. What is the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you're connected to the vine, which is Jesus, you will produce those things if you allow the Spirit to work in your life. That's Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Do you have any of those things? If you're not a loving person, that's an important fruit. Second fruit, do you know that praising God is considered to be spiritual fruit? Talks about that in Hebrews 13, 15. If you just sang words to the song this morning, you didn't necessarily praise God. But if you sang to the Lord Himself this morning, that's fruit. Third thing, giving financially to meet the needs of others is described as fruit in the Scripture. Fourth thing, get this, holy, righteous, Christ-like behavior. If you're different, and if you're connected to Jesus, you should be. If you're living like the devil and feeling good about it, check your connection. And then finally, the last thing, the Scripture describes converts, people who come to know Christ, as being fruit. Are you sharing the gospel with anyone? But here's the point I'm wanting to make. If you're the real deal, and I don't know your heart, you don't know my heart, and that's a good thing, but if you're the real deal, you're going to produce fruit. The only kind of thing that doesn't produce is something that's not the real deal. And I'm talking about spiritual fruit. John 15:8 says, when you produce, listen to this, this is convicting. When you produce much fruit, He says, you are my true disciples. You're either a false disciple or a true disciple, and I don't know. Only you know. He says, you are my true disciple. And then look what He says in verse 8. This brings great glory to my Father. When you're producing fruit, it gives glory to God, not glory to self. So, are you producing fruit? You should be. Second thing, abiding in Jesus produces answered prayers. I'm convinced if we would abide in Jesus, our prayers would be better and they would be answered. And I want you to get this because this is not Santa Claus praying. Look at verse 7. He says, but if you remain in me, there's that word, abide, remain, dwell. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. Some of y'all getting really excited. You want $1 million. You want a new car. It's not what it's saying. It's saying in that passage, if you truly want Jesus Christ, your prayers will be answered because they're going to be prayed according to what He wants for your life. And I can tell you this, He doesn't care if you have $1 million or not. The person who is connected will pray the kind of prayers that God answers because they're the kind of prayers that God wants us to pray. So if a lot of your prayers aren't being answered, it may be that they're not the right kind of prayers. They may be prayers that you want. It may be they haven't been answered because it's not time yet. God hasn't answered them yet. But here's the thing. If you are reading God's Word, if you're talking to Him in prayer, if you're obeying Him, if you're praising Him with your mouth, you're going to pray the right kind of prayers and God answers them. Are you remaining in Him? Are your prayers being answered? Third thing, abiding in Jesus produces love for Him. Right now, what is your DTR? Do you know what your DTR is? You know what that is? Determine the relationship. What is your relationship with Jesus right now? Do you love Him? Are you dating Him? Have you committed your life to Him? Is He a casual friend? Is He a Sunday-only friend? What is your relationship with Him? DTR. Determine the relationship. Are you using Him? I hope not. But what He talks about in verses 9 through 10 is a beautiful picture that when we abide in Him, it produces a love relationship. In verse 9 it says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commands, you remain in my love just as I obey my Father's commands and remain in His love. You see, the Christian life is never meant to be anything other than a love relationship. Just as Jesus has a love relationship with God the Father and God the Father with Jesus, Jesus wants to have a love relationship with you and you with Him. But that love relationship isn't defined by you just saying, I love you, Jesus. You get that? Jesus defines what love is. What is love for Jesus Christ, according to the Scripture? You obey me. You obey me. John 14:15 said it simply this way, if you love me, obey my commandments. Now, you don't obey Him to be saved. You obey Him because you are saved. Because you're in a love relationship with Him. You know, I've mentioned this before, but Julie has a very special way that she washes and dries towels. I hate it. Don't agree with it. And it's this. You only wash towels with towels. You only dry towels with towels. Isn't that right? Occasionally, I've tried to trick her, and I put in shirts with towels, or anything with towels, thinking she won't know, but she knows. But 99% of the time, I wash towels with towels. You know why? Because I love my wife. I love my life, too. See, this whole Christian thing, don't tell me. I used to have a kid when I was a youth director. A kid used to come up named Brian Jones. And he'd say, Bill, I just want to sing this morning in church about how much I love Jesus. His name is Brian Jones. He's a good guy. Got his act together now. But at the time, he wasn't obeying Jesus. He loved to tell everybody he was obeying Jesus and loved Jesus. And he would want to sing it in front of everybody about his love for Jesus. And I told him one time, I said, Brian, until you start obeying Him, you don't need to be singing out loud about how much you love Him. What's the difference between you and me? Do you love Him? Would you stand up in front of a group of people and say you love Jesus? Then why don't you obey? Why don't I obey? What is there right now in your life that Jesus has told you to do that you're not doing, and yet you'll be the first one to raise your hand and sing, oh, how I love Jesus. That's a bunch of bull. Love is obedience. When I tell you I love Him and I disobey Him, I love Him, but I'm not being a loving child. See, if you're really connected, you're going to love Him. And that means you're going to do what? You're going to obey. Listen, people, we act like obedience is a bad deal. My life is so much better when I do what? Obey Him. All the problems in my life have come when I don't obey Him. So why don't we obey Him? Why not? Is that the most important part? I don't know. You see how this is a practical passage, and this will change your life. A revival won't. You just live it. I live it. Last thing. Abiding in Jesus produces joy. Jesus said this, not me. I have told you these things. What? John 15, 1 through 11. I have told you these things about abiding. Why? So that. In the scripture, when you see so that, it tells you why you do the things He tells you to do. So that you will be filled with what? My joy. My joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Now, if you're not happy as a Christ follower this morning, there's a good possibility that if you're a believer, if you're a true branch, you're not obeying Him or walking with Him or something of that nature. Because Jesus promises here that if we abide in Him, there's joy. Great joy. Overflowing joy. And you have that joy because you're connected to the vine. I know a lot of miserable Christians. They have no joy. They don't love Jesus or feel like they're in love with Him. Their life's a mess and they can't get it. Going to church ain't going to change all that. But I tell you what will change it. You get connected to Jesus. You walk with Him on a daily basis. You connect to Him. Let Him convict you. Let Him talk to you. Let Him spank you occasionally. And your life will change for the better. Remaining or abiding in Christ should change everything. It should change our county. It should change our church. It should change our marriages, our families, our dating, our friendship. It changes everything. Why? Because when you dwell in Him, you're connected to the vine and you can't help but change. So this morning, you're either the real deal or you look like the real deal. And I'm not here to judge. I don't want anybody to live with guilt. I'm just trying to explain what the Scripture says. So are you the real deal or are you a false branch? If you're the real deal, do you have that joy? Do you have that love? Do you have that fruit? Do you have that relationship? Because listen, that's why I am a Christian, not just going to church. It's a relationship. Do you have that? Well, maybe you're not connected like you should, or maybe you're not allowing Him to change you. Or maybe you're one of the branches that's not connected, and your biggest need this morning is not more religion and not more church and not more this and that. It's the gospel. It's where Jesus said, I died on that cross because you can't change yourself. And you need me to do that for you. You need me to deal with that sin problem. That's why Jesus says, I am the vine. I am the solution. You either get that or you don't. And if you're not enjoying the Christian life, something is wrong because it's good. I mean, you're going to get pruned occasionally. I mean, that just makes you better if you learn from it. So, kids, help me. I am the vine. Let's pray. Father, be with us and help us understand how serious it is to be a true branch. And that only happens through Jesus. Everything we've talked about from John has been about, I am the door, I am the way, I am the light. It's all about Jesus. Change in life, salvation, whatever you want to call it, it only happens through Jesus. Father, I pray that First Baptist Mount Ida would have a huge impact upon our county through being connected to you. We are the church. When we leave this place this morning, we are the church. And if we're connected, we're going to bear fruit. We're going to have joy. We're going to feel loved. If we're not connected, we just wasted an hour. Father, if there's someone here who doesn't know you, I pray that they would talk to me and we could figure out how to get connected. Maybe there's some Christians that just have no joy. I pray they'd talk to me and we'd just figure it out. Because it all comes back to you and you make the difference. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask that you would